Thank you very much, Wilmer, for your welcome tonight. And I just want to thank the assembly here just for all their support over these past weeks now, running up to the mission, and especially for their prayer support. And, you know, I was just thinking tonight, you'd usually find me away in the sticks. Most of my missions has been away and well, not just where I'm going to at the minute. Believe it or not, I'd done a mission in a graveyard at one time. There used to be an old church there. And it's been in my heart for some time now to come back to where I was born. Most of you would know where I was born, just up the New Year Road there. I was born at Drumgaw. And that's really where I was saved, just up at Killeen, a few hundred yards up the way from that. Most of you know that I was a butcher. You wouldn't think to look at me, I'm a butcher. A butcher's usually pretty stout, aren't they? And anyway, that's where I started. And then just after I put the van on the road, Robert and Derek were having a mission up at Killeen. That's 4072, so that's 43 years ago, isn't it? Right? No more, is it? 43 years ago. So I was saved in 1972. And then we moved into Armagh, and we started a butcher shop there in Scott Street. And never did I ever imagine in my wildest dreams that I would ever step out of that butcher shop. If you'd have said to me way back then, well, I would have said, no way. But the Lord had other plans. The day that Aris and I got engaged, we prayed that hymn together of Noel Grant's, Above Thine Own Ambitions Here, Another Voice Is Sounding Clear. It is the call of God to thee. O leave thine all and follow me. And we prayed that together, and little did we know that we would be called out of our business in 1989. Through that verse, I was for 7 years, didn't want to leave the butcher shop, but the Lord made it clear to us through a verse in John, labour not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat. Now that was the last straw and the final verse that the Lord gave us to labour not. And then when it came out, well, we just come out looking to the Lord, and there's another powerful verse. It's good that the word of God you can relate, because at times it doesn't be easy. And I send you to reap. Remember the Lord giving that? He says, I'm sending you now to reap. And thankfully, there hasn't been a mission ever that we haven't saw souls saved. And don't say that for any glory of myself, I can assure you. But there hasn't been a mission from then that we haven't seen the Lord's hand at work. Mostly in the south. That was where the Lord directed us to through Philip, the evangelist. Told us to go south. You know, some people say, can you be so sure that the Lord can give you directions? Well, he gave. And that was our first mission, and with the privilege of seeing a whole family of 13 saved. And so it's just so wonderful to just be obedient. We heard from John this morning, to obey is better than sacrifice. People say, well, you made a great sacrifice. Well, probably in some way, Aris made more of a sacrifice than I did, you know. She really did. But to obey is better than sacrifice. You know, it's not the sacrifice, because obedience is not really, it thrilled my heart this morning through that verse, to obey. Now, it took me 7 years to obey that and to step out, and here we are approaching a mission in our very doorstep. We'll be calling this week with people who we know so well, and that will not be easy, I can tell you. Because there'll be those who know all about you. And well, anyway, we're trusting the Lord for blessing, and we believe the Lord will. So that's just a bit of information. The Lord has given me a very sort of unusual verse for this time, for this mission. And you'll see why this verse would usually be used in a harvest Thanksgiving service. And it's found in Jeremiah. And this verse has been really so much in my mind. You try to wonder and say, well, sure, that's for harvest time. That's not for this. But anyway, this is the verse that the Lord has given me. It's verse number 20. But we'll read a few verses from verse 7 of Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 7. And we know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts tonight. I'll have you out now at 9 o'clock, don't worry. Verse 7 says, Robert has taught me to let people get the place, not to rush on, so I've learned a lot of things from Robert. So I preach his messages, you know, sometimes. I'm not afraid to say that, but he's been a real blessing to me, I tell you. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I'd ever stand in the pulpit with Robert. I never, because it was Robert led me to the Lord and Derek. But I never thought for a moment. And here we are together. And I really thank Robert, and I'm really praying that the Lord will keep him well, that it leaves me up a wee bit. It says, yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed time. Knoweth her appointed time, and the swallow observeth the time, the coming her. My people know not the judgment of the Lord. Now we know that was speaking to Israel. The children of Israel didn't know their appointed time, and the Lord had to deal with them. And that's the background. I'm not going to go into the background of that. But look down to verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Wonder, could you say that tonight? The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And I am not saved. And then, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Oh, that my eyes, chapter 8 and verse 1, oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. You know, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. That's what he was known as. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem. Nehemiah sat down and wept. And here is Jeremiah, and the harvest is past. The summer is ended, and I am not saved, or we are not saved. You know, it has been said that attack in a sure place is better than many attacks. You know, it's good, the word of God, just even a verse like that, the harvest is past. A nail in a sure place, sorry, is better than many attacks. It's good to quote the word of God. And to hammer that home. And it was Amy Carmichael who said, is it the first hit of the hammer puts the nail home? I'm sure most would know Amy Carmichael. Is it the first hit that puts the nail home, or the last hit? And then she said, it's neither. It's everyone hitting the nail together. And then she said, no one can take credit for a soul being saved. Because we're all workers together, aren't we? You know, you might be the first link. You might be some link. You might be the last link. But it's good to be a link. And I have had the privilege of just seeing people saved that has been preached. I remember just there in Stewartstown, there was a man, Willie Honeyman, who had a mission just about a mile. And I called it homes, and I tell you, he labored. And the Lord just was pleased to come in and save souls. That's just how it works. And you just stand back and you give God all the glory. So here we have this verse. You know, D.L. Moody, and I love to read biographies of men that served the Lord. And he said about a man in his congregation each Sunday morning, and he knew that he was troubled. He just sensed that he was troubled. So one Sunday morning, he felt that he needed to speak to this man. And you don't do that unless you're led by the Spirit of God. You don't do that because you could put your hand to something that you shouldn't. But anyway, he did. And he said to that man, he says, I feel that the Lord is speaking to you. Would that be right? And the man said he was. And the elder says, would you not like to be saved? And he says, I would. But he says, I'm in business with a man, and if I got saved, he would laugh me to scorn. You know, it's wonderful that what people think. They think, well, you know, I'm going to have to, because you're going to have to take your stand. And he didn't get saved. He went home. But that man was missing. This is a true story now. That man was missing for some weeks, and D.L. Moody got a message from his wife to come. He was sick. And would he come quickly, because he was dying and he wasn't saved. So D.L. Moody went up to the house and went to that man's bedside and tried to persuade him that he wasn't going to make it. And that man said, no way. He says, speak to my family. I have no interest of being saved. I tell you, folk, tonight, that's a serious thing. That you could be sitting in meetings and you could be encouraged, and suddenly, I could tell you many a story. And D.L. Moody waited in that home till 3 o'clock in the morning, stayed with his wife and two children. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, he heard that man move. Just heard in the quietness around 2 a.m. or 2:30 around that time, and he went over to that man. And this was this man's final words. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And I am not saved. And he passed out into eternity. Would that be you tonight? So here we have this. And I'm just going to think of, first of all, spiritual harvest that we know that has taken place. I was reading just recently of England's spiritual harvest. And England's spiritual harvest came through the Wesley brothers and George Whitefield. We are told that on New Year's Day, that was about 1718 into the 18th century, that they had a prayer meeting on New Year's Day, right through to 3 a.m. in the morning. That's why I love prayer. Because without it, you'll not see blessing. And at 3 a.m. in the morning, it is noted that God broke through. And that was the start of England's spiritual harvest. Do you believe that God could bring revival again? Because in that day of Jeremiah, it was a dark day. In Elijah's day, it was a dark day. And we're living in a dark day. I tell you, you just have to listen to the news last night again. And we're living in dark days. But God's still alive. If my people, I have a little book at home, if my people, which is called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn, then will he hear from heaven and heal their land. And I don't care how many elections we'll have. Good and all as that is, it'll not change our nation. It'll not do that. So it's not in Stormont, it's not in Westminster, it's not in the White House. It's in with the people of God. I believe that. I really do. Like, I just believe that God can come. And God broke through. And you would know the story of the Wesley brothers and George Whitfield. And then people were poles apart, you know. If you read about those Wesleys and George Whitfield, they were different in their doctrinal views, but God worked. Now, Wales spiritual harvest came in 1904. This is the spiritual harvest we're speaking about. A young man, Evan Roberts, got a burden for Wales. He was going on to be a minister, and he was going through college, and he just felt this is not right, and he went home to his parents, and he says, no, I'm not, and they weren't too pleased, nor his lectures weren't too pleased with him either, but that young man went away into the Valley of Wales and prayed. You read this in a little book called If Revival Tarries. And he saw something like 100,000 people saved. Went away and prayed and met with God, and he was known as the silent preacher. He spoke one night, and by candlelight, he spoke word by word of a sermon of somebody else's. And was sinners in the hands of an angry God. And it is reported the very pillars of that church shook. Such was the power of God. You'll read that there in Wales, and God worked. That encourages when you pray to know that God can come. Now let's move on to Ireland's spiritual harvest. Four young men met in, and I'm telling you probably something that you already know, so that's why I'm being brief. Four young men met in the Kells old schoolhouse in Kells. They heard about how God was working in America, and they got to know, and they met the guy, and they said, well, if God could work in America, there was a man in America, and he rented a room at 12 o'clock in the morning, in the evening, around noontime, and he just left it open for people to come to pray. There was something like two turned up. Do you know how many event he was in that prayer? 300. You'll read that now. And there, these four young men heard that, and they met in that Kells old schoolhouse with the Bible and with George Mueller's book. I don't know whether you know of George Mueller. He's called the Apostle of Prayer, of Faith. I tell you, that's a powerful book, you know. There's a book that's called With God Nothing is Impossible. And that's what you need to whet your appetite with. Young people tonight, you need to whet your appetite with that, because it'll spur you on. It'll just do something if you're real with God. It does something for you. And it'll cost you. Evan Roberts was asked one time, could God bring revival again? You know what his answer was? Is anyone willing to pay the price? The price is high, severe the test, at him says, for those who would enjoy God's best. Surrender all and take the road with those who would go through with God. The price is high, I tell you, and you would know it, of course. Not all mountaintop, I can tell you, it's not all. You step out and you'll soon know that there's an enemy who will love to trip you up. So they met, you know what they met with that book? And they used to sing a hymn every night, Friday night. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. You know, God moved after a time. You know how he moved? He started in a schoolhouse, in his classroom. The teacher noticed this young boy in that school classroom, and he started to weep. And he asked someone to take him out. He didn't know what was wrong, and he was uncontrollable. And that young boy was led out, and suddenly all the children in that classroom followed him. And the teacher looked out, and there they all were standing up in the playground, weeping. That's how it started, you know. That's one way. Sorry, four young men came into Korean unannounced. No advertising, no nothing, and they started to preach. And suddenly, thousands of people started to come into Korean on the market day. You go to Korean, and I've been there, and you'll see a plaque on the town hall. That town hall had to be opened prematurely. It was going to be open with a dance, but it had to be opened prematurely because of the conviction, and had to be open for counseling. That's Ireland's spirit revival. Can God do it again? Well, I feel he can do it again. So there's that. See, the harvest was provided. And you farmers know, as we come into the realm, you know, a harvest has got to be provided. You've got to work hard, don't you? You've got to sow the seed, and you've got to tow the ground, and you've got to do. But there's always, God always provides himself, you know, a natural harvest, doesn't he? Always, that's why we have that verse in Genesis. Seed time and harvest shall always prevail. That's why we have a bow in the sky. But in the spiritual, God has a spiritual harvest. So don't give up. Don't give up. You see, the harvest was provided. And the harvest can only be gathered in its prime. You don't see farmers go into the field in July to harvest, you don't. No, you know that harvest can only be gathered in the autumn. And it can only be gathered in its prime. And you know something? You can't be saved when you like. You got that? You know, you hear people saying, well, whenever I come to die, I'll get saved. Yes, people do get saved on their deathbed. And I have the privilege of seeing a few, but I wouldn't rely on that now. But thankfully, the Lord does give people. There's a man got saved way down in Trillick, and he said Robert would know him. He was, Jim Wishart buried him there just a few months back. Arnie's brother. Set under the gospel all his life through Brethren Gospel Hall preaching. Heard the greatest of preachers, and suddenly he comes and the mission went to Trillick. And the joy of pointing that man to the Lord one Friday evening. And 3 months' time he was dead. Only in his prime. And I believe that God works and God brings you to a place. You know, the Lord had to take a butcher's van out in the morning and rode away from me. I knew the gospel as well, and the Lord had to deal tragedy when the Lord took that, and the IRS stopped me and burnt all that I worked for. A wee girl just down the road at 19 was going home to Newton Hammond in an Ulster bus, and she was burnt to death. And she was a Christian. I'll tell you, for God spoke to me. He spoke to me volumes. And a few months I was saved. Can only be gathered in his prime. See, John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And you know, people say, well, how will I know? All I can tell you, you know. You know. You know. Because that's God. We know how the Spirit moves, convicting men of sin, revealing Jesus through his word, creating faith. You see, the moment you step out, God gives you the faith to believe. I remember that night so well, I couldn't believe. I just couldn't. Till I just said, Lord, right. And God gave me the faith to believe that. Just like that, after 2 hours. Yes. You see, Felix, in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, Felix says, go thy way. For this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You see, he heard the preacher of truth. What a theme. He heard of righteousness, of temperance and of judgment to come. See, my people don't know the judgment. He heard it was a preacher of truth. But there was a passing of truth in her life as well, you know. You see, there we have God at work. A harvest has always been provided. A harvest can only be gathered in its prime. But a harvest will come to pass. Remember, Sammy Workman said that he stayed with a man in way down in Cork who owned 120 acres of wheat and just rained solid from September to October. And he always managed to gather half his crop in. And suddenly the weather dropped up, dried up. And in December, you could have went into the fields in December to harvest the crop. But it was too late. It was too late. You see, a harvest will pass. Is this your harvest tonight? Even before the mission starts? Are you going to say again no? And the word of God says that my spirit shall not always strive with man. We don't say that to try to push somebody in, but that is a fact. That's a fact. I heard of a young man who lived with an old uncle, and two preachers was going around the area and inviting him to come to the mission, and he started to attend, but the old uncle wasn't too happy with that and brought him aside one day and said, right, you go to those meetings and I'll change my, things will be different now. And that young man decided. That young man married. Built a house and heard all that farmer land. Years later, another mission came. He was invited, and this was his words now. He says, he put his hand around the whole countryside. He says, you see that? He says, one day I chose that land, and I have no desire to be saved now. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you see people in its prime. You don't have to shove and work and sure, land's coming down with professions. Sure, you go out through the country and people don't know where they are, really. They made some kind of I could bring you to a young man who stayed away in Bella Bay for 8 years. He knew he wasn't saved, and yet he was out in the streets and in Mullen and prayer meetings. And he knew he wasn't saved. And God took a dealing with him. Took a dealing with him. And I remember that young man that night said, no. You know what I said that night? Because the night before I got saved, I went home to my mum. And I made a profession when I was 16, do you say? And my mother said, I didn't need any more sermons now. If you're not sure, make sure. I tell you, it wasn't too long till I made sure. Are you sure tonight? Are you sure tonight you're saved? Because Romans tells us that God's Spirit witnesses with my spirit. Do I know I'm saved because I'm trying to preach the gospel or do this or that? No. God's Spirit witnesses with my spirit. That's how I know I'm saved. Are you sure tonight now? If this was your last mission meeting, before the tent starts now, are you sure of heaven? Yes, a harvest will pass. A harvest is always provided. A harvest can only be gathered in its prime, and a harvest will pass. The progress of time. Passing of opportunities. But the pearl of delay. You could delay, you know. Agrippa said to Paul, almost. Thou persuadest me. I don't know what Paul was doing, but he certainly must have been putting the facts to him when he was. And Agrippa said, almost. Thou hast persuaded me. to be a Christian. You search the scriptures and you never find Felix or Agrippa being saved. Search as you may, it's not there. You see, he fixed his destiny. That day, speaking to Paul, the greatest of preachers, provide the Lord. That day he fixed his destiny. Do you know you could do that tonight? Either for heaven or for hell. Do you realize that? That you could say no. And you could fix your destiny for eternity and lost eternity. But you have no need to do that. That night I got saved that night after Robert and Derek spoke with me. I just prayed a simple prayer. Never forget it. I knew all about the cross. I knew about repentance. I knew what it was to see people who were saved who were different. Because there's repentance involved. I knew about the preaching of the cross. I knew what the Lord Jesus Christ, I came up through a little Sunday school just across the way, Wood for Sunday School, Peebles Williams, and I knew so well. But I thought, well, sure, one day I'll do that. But God had a different. What about you tonight? The pearl of delay. For how do you know? How do you know that your soul may be drifting over the deadline? I understand in the rugby pitch there's a line called the deadline. Now I could be corrected, but Pastor Armstrong used to tell me that, and he was a rugby player, and every time he was playing rugby, that bothered him. How do you know that your soul may be drifting over the deadline? Tonight. How do you know that? I don't know it. We mightn't even see the mission. And just by the way, if I don't see it, the meetings have still got to go on. Okay, Robert. Don't stop because of me. I don't hope I'm not too late yet now. I'll maybe die after this mission's over. That's my desire, to see this mission through. But anyway, that's just by the way. Right? Almost. Then, punishment. I tell you, folk, there's no need to even think about hell tonight. Because it's so wonderful to be saved. So wonderful. I would not for one moment. You see, I used to think, you know, if I could see it, how would I keep it? Remember saying that to Derek. Derek used to call with me, and I knew where he was at. He wasn't looking, stayed with Kenny Hughes. He wasn't looking what he wanted. He just wanted to get near him. And I says, Derek, but I couldn't keep it. Remember Derek saying to me, no, you couldn't keep it, but God could keep you. And he will keep us, won't he? What about you tonight? That night I prayed a simple prayer. As Derek prayed, he used an illustration of, remember that song, Carbuckle? Bridge Over Troubled Water. I remember Derek, he took out his pen. Remember this well, and he says, remember that song? He says, you know, and I was weeping at this time, wanting to be saved. And he drew that bridge and he says, Norman, all you've got to do is pass over. He says, we'll pray. And as Derek prayed, I prayed a prayer. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I knew I was saved. And you were saved. How do I know? Because I was there when it happened. And I ought to know. I trust the Lord will bless his word as we just launch out into this week. But don't leave it to next Sunday. You come tonight. What a joy that would be. For the Lord to seal it tonight. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts tonight.